are my neighbors. Tune in to Out There to meet some of them. Out There airs every Wednesday from 4 to 5 in the afternoon with me, Ruthie Woodring. Come with me and my recorder to meet people and plants and think about ways we can share the world. That's Out There every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP, 103.3 FM, Northampton. Archived editions of Out There are online at weatherbeard.com/RUTHY. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in.
That's now, and you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your guest host, Alex Jarrett, and for Ruthie Woodring. Ruthie Woodring is still here in the studio with us, though.
Yes, thanks so much, Alex, for producing this show today.
And the show is on a walking journey that I took last month. I walked for 113 miles over a period of 8 days. And each day, I recorded different people that I met or walked with. And each night, I stayed with different friends or strangers in some cases. And so I didn't have to carry a lot of camping. I didn't have to carry any camping gear or too much stuff because I got to stay with people every night. So the first segment here is going to be days 1 and 2. And if you're ready, Ruthie, I think we can go right into it.
See you later, ducks and chickens.
A lot of people ask me what I'm walking for, or why I'm walking, and I would pose the question back to them, why are you not walking? I mean, a lot of people have pretty good reasons for not walking, but historically, you know, our species has walked places that we need to get to for many, many, yes, for thousands of years.
I'm not walking because too much of the land is paved over and it hurts my feet.
That's probably a good reason to not walk. But I guess, you know, the question for me is that our lives are so...
Dog turd. I'm not walking because there's dog turds in my way.
Our lives are so busy with, and we need to be in a hurry to get places. And I think that, you know, given that our bodies evolved to walk quite a bit, I think someone told me, which I don't know if it's accurate, that people walked on average about 12, well, like hunter-gatherers walked on average about 12 miles a day. And that is kind of built into to our being healthy is walking. So yeah, given that, but there's so many reasons now why people don't have time. Some of them are they don't have a choice about, they're forced into economic circumstances. But then also, there's others that even if now we've set up our lives so we do have a choice, we've sort of internalized that. Busy, we must do things, we must be productive, or we must recreate in a certain socially acceptable way. So, I'm trying to... One of the things doing this walk is just taking the slow route to get somewhere and... be open to what happens and people that I meet, and we'll see.
It's not that slow, because the route that we're going, at least to get to Amherst, is pretty direct, straight as a railroad line.
It's true. So for this radio show, you know, you just brought up the idea of editing, that I need to edit it into something that's attention keeping.
Grabbing.
Yes. Attention grabbing.
Yes, you've got to meet people's demands, which you have no idea what they are.
But maybe, I mean, is everything going to grab my attention on this walk? No. There's going to be all sorts of time where, you know, things are just probably kind of boring. So maybe the radio show, if it's going to be accurate, should actually just represent that. Maybe I don't need to worry about
it. Be honest with it. What's it really like?
Exactly. Annie, how do you feel when you're out walking, or when you like start walking, or how do you feel?
I always feel very wonderful because it takes me back to a really happy, calm, and productive place. It feels like everything is getting worked out right before my eyes. How do you feel when you are just starting out walking?
I feel excited. I do usually, like, shortly after I start walking, I feel this sort of, yeah, sense of just presence that I think that I, like, the worries of all the details aren't as important, and I'm just more focused on what's here and like a slow steadiness.
And how does that compare to the feeling that you get when you're biking?
Well, I'm often biking for... That's an interesting question, because I'm often biking for work, or I'm biking for quick transportation, and often I'm running behind. And... Or it's like I've allotted like 15 minutes. Okay, I have to bike at this pretty steady pace in order to get where I need to go. And it doesn't feel very relaxing. And maybe it's about the extent of energy that... Maybe it's sort of how I approach bicycling more than... Because, like, unless you're going up a steep hill, you can make bicycling pretty easy. And... So I don't know. Walking just feels like, even though it actually takes more energy to travel a given distance, it's just done so slowly and evenly that it feels easier.
Also, do you often walk just to walk? Or, I mean, are you talking about walking as a form of transportation? Just from one spot to another? Or are you talking about, like, a walking trip like this, which is somewhat open-ended every day? Although, I mean, yours is like a circular form. But, I mean, to me, there's like more possibility in a long walking trip than if you're just walking to CVS or something. So, do you think that has anything to do with it? Like, the closed nature of your bicycle experiences for work and for short-distance transportation versus, say, like, a longer walking trip or even a longer biking trip?
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, when I go on a longer biking trip, there is this certain like, sense of open... You know, you really could, unless you have a set plan, you really could say, oh, okay, I'm going to bike, you know, this distance today. But then if I feel like stopping, I'll stop and I'll camp here. And I'm like self-contained. And so I think, yeah, that there is that.
So in a situation like that, does the feeling of biking become more like a feeling of walking, or is it different?
It's still different. I think it does become more like the feeling of walking, but there's something with walking that's just so, like, slow and peaceful, and you get to see all the things that are going by so much more. Or you can be self, or you can ignore everything that's going by and just talk and with your friend and make a radio show.
It's interesting what you say, Alex, about the seeming ease of walking as compared to biking, even though biking for a mile is way more efficient, because I remember when I was suffering from severe anemia and I could barely even go up steps, the idea of biking to my doctor's appointment was kind of overwhelming, but I felt like I could walk there.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How's
the trip begun?
The trip has begun.
Oh, you're just starting? Yay. Oh my goodness, I'm so glad to run into you guys.
Yeah, you're like the fourth person we've run into that we know since we started.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised at all.
It's a quiet moment on Route 9. That was very fortuitous. I started the recording. We just stopped at Sam's and got some socks.
And popcorn.
And popcorn. And then we stopped at Dusty Rose Creamery. And Ruthie got a soft serve ice cream cone.
I figured unhealthy ice cream cones would go well with unhealthy nonstop noise of cars and trucks and exhaust.
And now we're walking along the side of Route 9. We just saw another person we know. It's been very... I don't know. When I walk along Route 9, I just think about, like, if there were buses, you know, how frequently a bus would have to go by. Probably every 5 minutes, or I don't know, maybe not. If you count how many cars go by in 5 minutes and how many people are in them.
If it was a megabus or not, I think they fit 80-some people.
Yeah.
I think about, what about if all the people in cars had to use their own power to move that 2,000 pounds? They realized what it was really like to move 2,000 pounds from Northampton to Hadley or Amherst. Like, I know what it's like to haul 300 pounds on my own power with a bike and a trailer. There's no way I'd want to move 2,000 pounds even out of my driveway.
Yeah, remember that time when we were hauling asphalt?
Yeah, downhill, fortunately.
Yeah, we each hauled 600 pounds of asphalt. So when we went over the scales, we weighed, including us, we weighed like 1,400 pounds, something like that. That was pretty rough, pretty intense to be pulling that much weight.
But it felt great to be getting the asphalt out of our driveway.
Yes, it did. We're walking through UMass and we just noticed a tandem bicycle with a Model 32A Bikes at Work trailer. And as pedal people, we use Bikes at Work trailers a lot, and we were wondering what they were doing. So we saw them stop, and then they went into the building, and now we're waiting for them to come out.
There's two tubs on the back of the trailer, two gray Rubbermaid totes, and they're bungee to the trailer with lids on them, and I wonder what's inside, or what was inside.
Yeah, what are they? Are they delivering something? Why are they riding on a tandem to deliver it? Or maybe there's gold ingots or depleted uranium in there, and it's so heavy. They need two people.
And one person's doing security detail. But they didn't lock up the bike, so Alex and I could ride it the rest of the way today if we wanted.
So we saw you pull up with this tandem bike and Bikes at Work trailer, and
yeah,
wondered what you were doing.
Okay, well, my partner and I, Gina, we are employed by UMass, and we get paid twice a week. We go around, we have about 25 participating offices, and we go and collect compost from each of them. We have what they're called bio bags. So
oh, yeah.
We distribute these bags around campus.
These are so clean.
Yeah.
Like I lick that tub. So
And so we give these to the participating people. We have eco representatives for each office, so they oversee it. And so we just collect the compost. We bring it to Franklin Dining Hall in a big compost area, and they take care of it from there. So, I mean, any office that wants to participate can. There's a waiting list, actually, because we can only do so much with two people on a bike. So in the winter, it was rough. It was really rough. But now that it's nice out, I think I have a great job. Can't believe I get paid to do this and exercise and compost. So
yeah.
Great. How often do you do it?
Twice a week.
So how long does the route take?
About a little less than 2 hours. We go all around campus. So
how many participating offices or buildings do you have?
25, around 25. Not all. We don't pick up from all of them. Some of them just bring their own compost to other central locations like The campus center has a place where you can drop off compost. The library has a place. So, yeah.
So does UMass have its own composting facility somewhere? Where does it go?
I don't think they have their own composting facility. I think they give it to farms to use. That's pretty much all I know. I'm getting interviewed. You can ask her questions if you want.
Hi.
Hi.
We didn't get your name. What's your name?
I'm Haley Young. This is Gina Wetzel.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Sophia. Where are you from?
We're from Northampton. We're actually part of Pedal People.
So we bike all
around, pick up compost and recycling and trash. And we're on a walk to North Amherst, and we just saw you go by.
I'm actually from Williamsburg, right outside of Northampton. Mm-hmm. So I see Pedal People all the time.
This is really exciting. Like, how did it get started?
They started the program, I think, last year. Our boss is Ezra Small. He's the manager of sustainability on campus. And
it started as a student project, actually, and then was implemented last year. And then since then, they've graduated, and now we're kind of in charge.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And they want to continue on in the summer, but they need to find new people because we're going home.
Yeah.
Here we are at Morgan and Alice's. We've arrived.
What time?
4:02.
4:02.
My feet are just about ready to blister.
Oh, really? Blister?
Maybe. Yeah, but that's hard to tell. I'm not used to walking this far.
Yeah.
I didn't practice at all.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad. I'm feeling sick. Mm-hmm. And definitely, I packed a little too much, I think. But so here we are. Let's ring the doorbell. Come around to the mudroom entrance. Hello!
Yes.
Hi.
Oh, the cat's going out.
Is that kicked out?
Well, let's bring him in, yeah. He can go out, but...
Hi, Morgan.
Hey, Alex.
So he'll come.
It's day number 2, and we're here with a whole crew of people near Puffer's Pond in Amherst. And you can probably hear in my voice that I'm a little sick, and we have many miles to go. We'll see how the day goes today.
Hello, my name is Adelaide.
Hi, this is Charlotte. I'm really excited to be here with Alex and everyone today. It's beautiful out.
Hi, this is Morgan. The weather is really bright and good, and here, passing the mic.
Hi, Kristen here. I'm very happy to be outside on such a beautiful day also.
I remembered that we went for a bike ride to this tall tree at the high school near our house, and then there was a little baby squirrel near it, and then we felt like we couldn't leave it there, so then we brought it some food, and then it didn't eat, but then once we had it home in a strawberry container, it ate some of it, and then when I walked around the tree, there was another squirrel that was standing on its head that was dead. I think was one of its brothers or sisters or younger sisters or younger brothers.
I looked around hoping a mother would come for it. We walked away and waited, and we figured the mother was probably gone. So we picked it up. I tucked it in my shirt because it was so cold and it was windy. And it was getting colder, and we brought it home. I tried again to feed it some pear, and it sucked on the pear quite a bit. But we have a cat, so we weren't sure if we should bring it in the house. Fortunately, when we opened the door, the cat ran outside. We wrapped it up, and then we called the vet, and they gave me the phone number for 6 people that would help take care of this baby squirrel. It smells really nice here. And this really kind woman met us at the Williamsburg General Store and said she would take good care of it and let it go in a couple of weeks when it was ready. She called us that night and she said, I just wanted you to know I cleaned it up and I offered it some formula and it drank the whole thing down, she said.
The whole thing.
the whole bottle?
Yeah, she thought she wouldn't be able to get it to eat because it looked so weak. But sure
but
enough.
Then it drank the whole bottle of
and
formula.
It drank the whole bottle, so I have a feeling that it's gonna be doing very well. So we'll call her today. Hey, look at that spin pattern.
Oh, this is a long bridge.
Adelaide, do you hear something?
Another one of the things we've been doing, which I've been continually forgetting whenever we run into people, is that given that we're on the Robert Frost Trail, we want to see if anyone knows any Robert Frost poems by heart. So I've promised myself the next people we meet that seem at all likely, we'll ask them if they know any Robert Frost poems. And Kristen, I think, knows a very short one.
The way the crow shook down on me the dust of snow from a hemlock tree has given my heart a change of mood and saved some part of a day I had rued.
Okay, so I was setting the ground rules for the walk, and I said, well, thou shall not drive, bike, take a bus or train, or boat, unless you're really sick and there isn't really another way. But there's no, I'm not putting restrictions on other people, I'm not responsible for their behavior, but is it against my rules to encourage them to come, as you did in a motor vehicle today, with three other people, come on walks with me, as several people are.
Your way of framing this all is coming across as somewhat judgmental.
Oh.
Which is fine. I mean, I think in order, like, there's an inherent tension between trying to live out your values and not be judgmental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm not. I guess you're right, I'm framing it in a little bit of a judgmental way, but I'm really just trying to set these rules for, yeah, it's a problem.
It's like a life experiment. Like, can you do this without using cars?
There's the, I guess we can go around the, we're crossing a brook here and a big tree has come down. So, here we go. Right. So the parameters for me are, can I do it? But I think maybe you're right in that I feel some sort of like, you know, this is such a great vacation because I'm doing it without, because I'm walking the whole way, and that's very impressive.
Yeah. Do you want me to respond to that?
Sure.
Since you're holding the microphone over in my direction?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it takes, you know, in order to do anything without using cars and without using fossil fuels and whatever, it requires a big commitment in shaping your life in certain ways, and that's awesome in whatever respect to show that that can be done. And you also exist within a societal context where you can't escape from the impact your life has in your vacations and your walks and whatever have on the world through many different ways.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, I'm not gathering all my food from the land here that I'm passing through.
But on some level, I mean, your ability to do this requires a certain luxury in life that you have due to a certain system which is consumptive.
Yes.
Potentially.
Well, that actually gets back to,
it's a complex discussion.
It's complex, yes. The very first thing I said in the show was, people ask me, you know, why I'm walking or what I'm walking for, and I ask back, well, why are you not walking? But he says, because that's the way that for most of humanity we got around. And then, of course, there's so many great reasons now why people don't. But I mean, I think if walking places was a lot more part of the, you know, daily life, which the only reason it isn't is because of our consumptive society.
I absolutely want to go to that world where it's part of our daily life. It's just not the world we're in right now.
No.
I guess, like, on some level, my take on it all is that, like, you and Ruthie and a bunch of other people in your community to different extents, and me, like, to a different level, have tried to set up our lives in ways that allow for less driving and more walking and less using resources on different levels. But there are some pretty, like, specific circumstances that need to align for that to work. Like, it really helps that you live in Northampton and that you're able to have this, like, job hauling people's trash and taking it to the transfer center where it's then taken further and by trucks. But, like, it requires a very, it's not something that everybody could instantly do.
Oh, yeah.
And it creates this awesome example, but not one that really everybody can buy into unless there's some external thing beyond all our control which causes the fundamental context in which we exist to change.
Yeah.
So I feel like I really, really respect this walk and how you choose to live, and I also really respect people who have different priorities in life based on the thing that they think that they can have control over and changing and whatever in the world. So you can sort of, I think it's fine for you to live, and it's awesome for you to be setting examples, and it doesn't need to go along with thinking that what other people do is not right, necessarily. Mm-hmm. See, I can't say this stuff clearly in a way that's appropriate for the radio.
No,
I'd rather just say it, like, in a conversation.
I think, well, that this radio show can be a conversation. Doesn't have to be a radio, doesn't have to be a particular way, you know. Especially community radio.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and I, well, here's, I guess, my response to that. Time for a splashing. Kristen, can you take the microphone for a minute? Oh, your hands are wet. I want to stop.
I can dry
it.
Them.
Got a splash.
Now your hands are wet.
Yeah. That's good with that. That people be choosing, you know, wherever they can to make some kind of incremental change. And maybe there are people who that just not even, there's so much stress in their lives that doesn't make sense. In which case the goals should just simply be try to get less stress. And that people who have less stress should be working to try to help other people out.
Yeah, but the reality is that individual actions aren't going to change stuff, like, ultimately. I mean, they will potentially set the stage a little bit.
Yeah, but do you think,
it's like, it's setting the stage, it's not incrementally moving.
Do you think, though, that, but, it, I mean, people, yeah, the individual actions I'm taking are very small, even on the level of pedal people, but do it's inspired a lot of other things and inspired people to change. And even that's probably very small. But do you believe in that power of, you know, incremental but yet growing change that can change a mindset that might then be enough to change, you know, political thinking eventually? You know, it does seem small. And
I definitely think it makes sense to do that. And it's a totally great way to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I can understand why a lot of people reach different conclusions about how they're going to live in the world, given the same information.
Yeah.
I really want to have, like, I mean, a lot of things to happen, but things like a carbon fee to, like, price carbon and, like, until there's some sort of systemic change that allows us all to act in different ways, people just aren't going to be able to. But getting more, like, public will for having that sort of thing change systemically is totally important. And who knows how that changes, but maybe all of us have some role. Maybe you have a role with things like this.
Yeah. I don't really think.
It's a fun vacation.
Yeah, I think it's a fun vacation.
So I think that you should throw your moral superiority into the wind.
Well, I agree.
Not that you have it too much. Which is why I like walking with you.
So that was days 1 and 2 of my walking journey. And I think we're going to take a break now, and we'll come back for days 3, 4, and 5 in just a minute.
This is Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP Northampton. That's Alex Jarrett talking about his walking journey. I'm Ruthie Woodring. Alex is mostly hosting the show. He's produced this show for you today. And let's see. Here's some other shows on Valley Free Radio.
Tune in to As Seen on Radio Tuesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on Valley Free Radio. Put on your listening goggles and see what we're broadcasting. Our show features the talents of emerging local musicians, artists, writers, and thinkers. We paint the airwaves with a dazzling swirl of music, words, and dreams. A technicolor patchwork of interviews, insights, and entertainments. Every Tuesday from 1 to 2, 103.3 FM, Valley Free Radio, WXOJ.
Reggae Down is on Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m. Turn on your radio for great sounds from international reggae artists, roots, dancehall, DJ mixes, and rhythms. Get down with Reggae Down every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Valley Free Radio.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue in Northampton. Drop-in hours are Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Or just to share your company.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue.
Venga para el Bike Lab de Northampton y se divertirá mucho, le enseñará muchas lecciones como arreglar bicicletas.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop under bike workshops. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
We're back with Out There, and today's topic for Out There is the walking journey that I took back in April of this year. And it was interesting listening to those, to all the walking and the walking sounds and being out of breath and different things that we talked about. So definitely sort of struggle with, like, is this interesting or is this just conversations people are having? And maybe that's okay.
Well, I'm definitely interested in it. So it's been interesting to me.
And so next is we're going to start with day three.
Good morning. It's day three. I'm here in Turner's Falls. I'm actually feeling quite a bit better, but it's still an early morning voice. I've been staying here, the home of Andrew and Julia and Lynx and Taryn, and it's been really nice to be in a household full of great expression. And hearing about their struggles of being part of this cooperative house network, something I'm very interested in, but that's not doing very well. So failure is something I love to hear about because I love to learn from it, figure out a better system. Kristen and I walked all the way to Turner's Falls together, and then there was the moment of leaving, where I guess, yeah, I was on my own for the first time on the trip, which just felt very different and very like when you're walking by yourself and you're somewhat self-contained, and then you're, it's just you interfacing with the rest of the world. Today is a rest day, and I'll be visiting with different friends, just walking to Greenfield, and getting ready for tomorrow's big day to Brattleboro. We're walking down the street. There's all these old brick buildings. Some of them are crumbling to pieces. Some of them are well kept. And we're headed toward a dumpster that has gems in it. Precious gems. Can you believe what people throw away these days? Well, maybe they're not that precious.
But they're definitely gems.
They're definitely gems.
And the dumpster has gems in it all the time.
Wow.
I think maybe Pete got them all.
Pete collects the gems?
Yeah.
It looks like on the ground here, there's like pieces of them.
Pieces of them, yeah. He might have gotten the biggest ones. Ooh, here's one.
Oh, I like this green
here. Yeah. Ooh, okay.
The purple one.
Yeah.
Got it.
It looks like our housemate Pete has already been through and got the big guys. But,
well, that's a pretty.
But this is beautiful.
Stone.
Oh, nice, Alex. Yeah, that green one's good.
I have to say, well, I have never, in my Petal People days, I have never come across precious stones, but Ruthie has. She's actually found whole jewelry.
In trash cans?
Yeah, and then I think she sold it for like $200 or something. <That's> like, because she's not interested in jewelry.
That's the punkiest thing I've ever heard ever.
That might have been in downtown trash, actually.
Will gems weigh you down on your walk, Alex?
It is a concern. I also worry it'll. That's probably not even gem, but it looks really
good. But it looks really good next to them, I agree.
I think a gem is whatever you decide, right?
I think so. I hope so, because I'm a little worried it'll weigh me down spiritually.
Oh,
You know, that I'll start feeling like I'll be coveting gems and...
You see this as a sort of gateway moment, potentially.
Yeah, potentially. This looks like some cast-off piece of...
Ooh, this one's nice. So maybe you just bring these gems to whoever you're visiting next.
I think that's probably... Continue, you know, giving... You receive, you give.
Right.
I stay in that.
Right.
I feel like I'll be home.
Right.
Well, great.
It's the dumpster way.
Yeah, thanks for showing me.
Definitely.
Walking out of Turner's Falls over to Greenfield. Montague City Road. Turner's Falls. Why did I call it that?
I don't know.
I should have said Great Falls, shouldn't I?
So every year... Our friend Neil Young puts on an impromptu performance, or collection of performances rather, called Noise Capades on the ice in Great Falls, and just calls together any artist who wants to participate by making a sound installation of some kind. And everybody performs once the ice is frozen out on the ice together. And for our performance this year, myself and my friends Julia and Lynx decided to read some excerpts of an account of William Turner's genocide of indigenous folks from the 1600s, because we are living in a place that's called Turner's Falls, named after William Turner and the genocide that he and his colonial army engaged in that day, and feel that as white folks living in a community, we want to confront the fact that every time we refer to this community as Turner's Falls, we are valorizing that individual and his actions. So we read some excerpts from the genocide, from an account of the genocide, and then we asked all the folks present at Noise Capades that day to participate with us in a year-long project of calling Turner's Falls Great Falls in conversation. And so our hope is to engage in a history that we understand to be very long of other folks in this area calling this place Great Falls instead of Turner's Falls, and we want to be a part of that effort to get this place, at least through common usage, to be referred to as something other than Turner's Falls. And so we're going to try it for a year and then see what happens at the end of that. I also know that there's a ton of work that has been done already in this community to rename this town, and that I know very little about it, and would love to know more, and would love to be in solidarity with people who've been doing this work longer or who are trying to do this work now. And so if people are interested in talking about this stuff or correcting me or engaging me in any way, I would love that. And my email is vegitarin@gmail.com. My name's Taryn. Thanks.
It's awesome to have a visitor who's been walking and you feel that they've been in the rhythm of their bodies and they've been just noticing the world around them, and you pick up on their energy, and then it just, you know, puts you in that deep space of just contemplation and beingness. And especially with Alex, it's just wonderful to see him in his adventure mode and catch some of that energy and sing songs and just hang out and enjoy the good life.
Ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep me from getting to you, babe. Said there ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, Ain't no river wide enough to keep me from getting to you, babe.
Would you like to tell us about monster trucks?
My toy monster trucks are way over on my plane right over there.
What kind of monster trucks do you have?
I think one of them is Gravedigger.
Gravedigger? What do the monster trucks do?
Well, they just sort of jump over smushed cars.
Is there anything else they do? Or anything? What do you like about monster trucks?
Because they just... I like monster trucks just flip over sometimes. Yeah.
Thanks, Max. Good morning. It's day 5. Walking down to the co-op here in Brattleboro, Vermont. We kind of missed yesterday. Didn't accept her in the morning. At Spartan's and Hannah's, I didn't make any recordings. It was pouring for most of the day. It's kind of a crazy time. But also pretty amazing. It was a 20-mile day from Greenfield to Brattleboro, and I decided the first half was on roads or railroad tracks, but after that I pretty much went through the woods and found some trails at times. Other times just had to take the compass and say keep trying to go north. And saw some really beautiful waterfalls and just very remote feeling woods. I sang a lot of songs, most of which unfortunately I can't remember. I would make up these songs about traveling into the unknown and hoping I would find my way. By the end, I was getting very cold. Half of my body was completely soaked, including my feet. I was pretty much okay, but I just had to keep moving. You just can't stop in those circumstances, because you'll get super cold. And I would go up a hill, get warm, and then stop. Enough to be able to rest and have a bite to eat, and then cool down, keep going. I found this. I was trying to get across this really large brook, and I found a footbridge that went to a cabin, but there weren't any signs that said no trespassing or that I shouldn't go there. So went across this really beautiful gorge where there was still lots of ice along the side, and then sort of skirted around the cabin furtively, and then jumped up and hiked up through Fort Dummer State Park, which was completely closed. I found a shelter, got out of the rain for a little bit, and then kept going down into Brattleboro. Today, Mikey is going to join me, and we are walking up to Marlboro, Vermont. Thinking about the difference between walking alone and walking with someone, and how different it feels. Both what I notice, I'm not noticing my surroundings as much because we're having, I'm talking about really interesting things for one. But then also, I'm not worried about loose dogs, loose dogs coming and attacking me in the same. Partially because you are safer when there's more of you in that situation, or at least if I get bit, you'll do something about it, or vice versa. But it's part. I almost feel like I am way underconfident when I'm by myself, and overconfident when I'm with someone else. So I was just noticing the differences there. How are you when you're doing something? By yourself, or do you notice
this tractor out in the field is having a hard time?
It's making a really bad rattly sound. That's not a happy engine.
How do I feel? How is it different when I'm alone or with somebody else? Well, when I'm alone, I think I focus a little bit more on my body and my needs. And, like, you know, we'll stop and start or go faster or whatever. You know, when I'm with somebody else, there's sort of a momentum that people have together. Mm-hmm. And then just the quality of being silent is just so much... makes it feel so much more different in day-to-day life. You know? Wow, look at that house.
Wow. This is a barn castle, I'd almost call it, with a serious solar array and a wind generator. Wow. How would you describe that?
Yeah. That is really awesome garage. This two-story garage that's like this sort of, it's like a salt box, but like sort of stretched out a little bit more vertically. Like the south, there's a south facing side that's really steep and is completely covered in solar panels. But then the entire building is fairly narrow, like it doesn't have much depth to it, but it has also a second story. Anyway, it's a garage down low, and it looks like an office or a second story up higher.
There's a loose goat. Or sheep. Sorry.
Yeah, sheep. Well, now, are the lambs in there?
Oh, there's goats, too.
I'm not sure if I see other lambs in there.
Oh.
There are some lambs, but they're not.
Well, one is completely on the road.
Yeah.
Maybe it did.
Yeah.
I think it went under the wind is really fierce here.
It's an incredible operation.
You're listening to Out There in Valley Free Radio. And we've just been listening to stories from my walking journey to Vermont and back in April.
That's Alex Jarrett talking about his trip. Well, stay tuned for Democracy Now! Up at 5 o'clock. Anything else, Alex, you want to say about your trip or the story of your walk or the clips?
It's, you know, obviously there was so much more that happened on the walk than I could actually show. But I hope I gave a sense of a little bit of what happened. And there's three more days for me to still edit. And if Ruthie allows, we might hear from that at the future show.
Oh, great. This is the Proclaimers.
When I wake up, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who wakes up next to you. When I go out, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. And if I haver, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who's havering to you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walked 1,000 miles to fall down at your door. When I'm walking, I'm gonna be the man who's working hard for you. When the money comes in for the work I do, I'll pass almost every penny on to you. When I come home, oh, I know I'm gonna be. I'm dreaming, well, I know I'm gonna dream. I'm gonna dream about the time when I'm with you. When I go out,
when I go out,
well, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. And when I come home,
when I come home,
yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home with you. I'm gonna be the man who's coming home.
That was the Proclaimers. So when Alex was getting this show together, he looked out the window and saw a person walking down the rail trail in front of our house who had a walking stick and a backpack. He was walking in the rain. He looked like he was walking. So I ran out and asked him what he was doing.
My name's Dave. I walk because I'd rather not be a part of the global destruction and, you know, whatever. It's just easier to walk everywhere I go. I feel better about myself and the environment and everything.
You're in Florence right now. Where are you headed to today?
Northampton and possibly Amherst, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. So this has been Out There on Valley Free Radio. The show today was produced by Alex Jarrett. I'm Ruthie Woodring.
Thanks for having me, Ruthie.
Yeah. And so stay tuned for Democracy Now! Up at 5.
I found a boy.